Talks with Sri Kunjaswamy by Darlene Delacy. In August 1978, Darlene Delacy, now Darlene Delacy Karamanos, noted down conversations she had had with Sri Kunjaswamy while visiting Sri Ramanashramam. The guidance and inspiration she imbibed while in the Swami's company helped establish a solid foundation in her one-pointed life of devotion and dedication. There is hardly a guest at the Nova Scotia Arunachala Ashrama who has not been touched by her care and kindness. The following was serialized incrementally as fillers in the 1979 and 1980 issue of The Mountain Path. Sri Kunjaswamy conveniently divided Sri Bhagavan's life at Arunachala into three periods. This is a brief sketch of what he described. Part 1, 1896-1898. His life prior to his residence on the Arunachala Hill, Guru Murtam, Pachayaman Koil, etc. He did not talk. His presence and darshan was all that was needed to give one complete spiritual fulfillment. This could be compared to a powerful spring. One contact, one glimpse from Bhagavan was enough to experience Atma Sakshatkara. Part 2, 1899-1922. His life on the Arunachala Hill, at Virupaksha Cave, Skandashram, etc. He spoke sparingly, using very few words, and that too only in answer to questions put to him. His presence radiated peace and quietude, the perfect silence of the first stage, and in addition to his powerful presence were the words of nectar by way of answers to questions. This can be compared to a beautiful, smooth, flowing river. A few hours with Bhagavan was enough to give one spiritual fulfillment. One Mastan Sahib got his Atma Sakshatkara in 8 hours. When Sri Kunjaswamy asked him whether he had asked Sri Bhagavan any questions, the Sahib replied, "When I came to Bhagavan, he was seated like a rock outside Virupaksha Cave, without altering his look, which was filled with grace, compassion, and steady wisdom. So I also stood by his side. After giving me a look, he opened a gate of my heart, and I was also established in his state. I stood like that for 8 hours, absolutely without fatigue, but filled with total absorption and peace. Bhagavan, in those days, used to open our heart with a simple, gracious look, and it transformed us. There was no need for any questions, since he made us, by his look, like himself." Part 3, 1922-1950. His life at Sri Ramanashramam. Bhagavan was extraordinarily brilliant and poured out his experiences and reminiscences. He would sometimes repeat anecdotes 4 or 5 times for the benefit of the latecomers to the hall. Bhagavan had to oblige multitudes of devotees coming for his darshan. This period can be compared to an unfathomable ocean. It really took months or years for even dedicated devotees to realize themselves, as in the case of Sri Ramananda Saraswati, Major Chadwick, etc. In his presence, the all-engrossing appearance of the world would cease to hold a position of supreme importance. It would still be there, but there as the play of light and shade on a summer landscape, a fact for the beholder, but only a fact of appearance. His great calm and his wonderful silence resulted in him to be increasingly associated in people's minds with the Arunachala mountain that he loved so much. His long stay of 54 years in Tiruvannamalai by its side was itself a feat of immovable solidity. All knew the fact that he loved the hill dearly. Did he not write 5 beautiful hymns in its praise while still a young man? He used to say that Kailas was undoubtedly the abode of Lord Shiva, but that the hill was Lord Shiva himself. And for thousands of us, he himself was the hill. Even on the hottest days of the year, he would go walking on it several times a day without any footwear or covering, when most of us could not even bear to put our feet on the ground. He carried out this practice regularly for years and only ceased near the end when his health began to fail. Sri Bhagavan never fully stretched himself on the bed like we do to sleep at night. It was a marvelous phenomenon that perhaps might not have been noticed by many. He used to have a few round pillows for his back to recline on, in which position he used to remain all night. Sometimes he used to support his head with the hand also, but always only in the reclining pose. We have never seen him sleeping on his back, fully stretched, or lying down full on his side. Different paths of spiritual evolution. The uniqueness of Sri Bhagavan in emphasizing all the traditional teachings was stressed by Sri Kunja Swami thus. Though traditionally it is stated that worship, japa, dhyana, and samadhi are the ascending order of spiritual evolution, and Bhagavan also has confirmed it in Upadesha Saram, verse 4, worship, incantation, and meditation are performed respectively with the body, the voice, and the mind, and are of value in this ascending order. The total emphasis Bhagavan gave to each one of these individually is complete. Sri Bhagavan stressed that worship was treating the universe as a manifestation of God. Such worship takes you directly to the goal, God Self. Japa is to be done continuously inwardly, like the flow of oil, as a perennial stream. To be in that dhara, one movement, to the exclusion of all objective existence, is nothing short of abiding in the self. Dhyana means absorption into the source. It is the final piece too. Tapas is the realization of that ultimate truth which subsists when all trace of I is gone. This is good tapas. Samadhi is the state in which the mind withdraws from external objects of sense and beholds, that is, merges in its own effulgent form. The I vanishes and an I appears by itself. This is the infinite Purnam. Bhakti is to remain in the real being, transcending all thought through intense devotion. This is supreme bhakti. Jnana, whence does the I arise? When you seek for it, within it vanishes. This is the pursuit of wisdom, jnana. The body, senses, mind, prana, and ignorance are all insentient and not the real sat. I am is the real. As there is no second being to know that which is consciousness, we are that. To know the self is to be the self. It is unbroken awareness, bliss. Thus, Bhagavan stressed that not only these have an ascending order of development, but also each by itself individually would directly lead one to the reality. Bhagavan's emphasis that each could be by itself the final step is unique and not found in traditional texts. When Sri Kunji Swami was living in Parakuttu near the ashram, he was going up to Skandashram daily for taking his bath in the spring there. On those occasions, he used to adjust his return time from Skandashram after the bath in such a way that he would invariably meet Sri Bhagavan on the hill itself. Once Bhagavan asked him what he was doing while going to Skandashram and coming back, Sri Kunja Swami answered that he was chanting stotras like Aksharamana Malai. Bhagavan approved of it and added, "Yes, when one is alone, either walking, sitting, etc., one should engage the mind in stotras or japa to prevent the mind from getting distracted. As far as possible, one should see that the mind is kept introverted, and for that, stotras and japa are the best aids." Ever since this incident, Sri Kunja Swami has kept up the habit of chanting stotras or doing japa while alone, especially while taking a walk. During Sri Kunja Swami's stay at Skandashram, life was absolutely spontaneous. Sri Bhagavan's own instruction then was, "Go to sleep when the body requires it. When awake, engage yourself in sadhana. Do not even think whether it is day or night. Do not doze off pretending to do meditation. Be sincere and wholehearted in sadhana as well as in sleep." A seeker, Sri Kunja Swami said, should know three things and be very clear about them. One, the seeker should know what exactly his aim is, namely the goal. Two, once convinced of the goal, he should seek the Guru, receive the teachings from him, and diligently absorb himself in them. And three, he should then constantly engage himself in self-analysis as to whether he is following the teachings imparted to him by the Guru, and if so, where exactly he stands, that is, whether he is progressing or not. Constant vigilance is very essential for the progress of the seeker. To be continued.